All right. Well, again, for those of you who just jumped on, you probably don't know it, but I was a couple minutes late this morning. So thank you for your patience. I was actually all organized and ready to go and was signing on at 10 minutes till, but we ran into some technical difficulties with Zoom and we got them sorted out. Big thanks to Dustin Williams. He and Shelley and Marcella, they all do so much for the ministry and they do a lot of the behind the scenes stuff that make all this possible. And Dustin's also one of our pastors at Shiloh, a wonderful speaker himself. So the fact that he's willing to serve behind the scenes as much as he does just shows you the quality man he is. Well, let's open up in prayer. Father God, I thank you so much that we get to gather with you this morning from across the country and even around the world. But you are in our midst because we are gathering together here on Zoom in your name and to glorify your name. Father, we thank you that we will receive from you everything you have planned for this time together. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise, Heavenly Father. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, I want to start with a really great announcement. As an important part of our ministry family, you guys are a part of every single thing we do. And we had a new book come out yesterday. Our new book, Realms of Power, is now available. We've talked about it a little bit. Oh, good. Stephen Shelley's joining us. Always good to see my friend Stephen from Florida. We've been talking about Realms of Power for a little bit now because we were very fortunate in that we got a pallet of the books shipped to us and we were able to do a pre-release sale. Good morning, Stephen. We were able to do a pre-release sale and offer it to friends and partners in the U.S. and Canada. But yesterday, October 18th, was the official release date. And the reason that was so exciting is now it's available everywhere. It's available on Amazon, on barnesandnoble.com, on christianbook.com. It's available in Christian bookstores and bookstores. If it's not on the shelf, you can go in and ask them to order it in and they'll be able to. Destiny's waiting to get that to any place that you guys request it. But for our friends and partners overseas, what's exciting is now you can get the digital download copy. It's officially released through Apple Books, through Amazon Kindle, through Barnes and Noble's digital format that I forget the name of. But I wanted to make sure you guys knew Realms of Power is now available and it'll help everybody operate in untapped dimensions of Holy Spirit power. And boy, do we need it. And then I happen to have our new mugs that are coming out in celebration of the book. So I'm drinking my, I don't know if you can see that, I'm drinking my coffee, I'm about half done with it, from one of our new You Are Powerful mugs. So every sip of coffee or tea I take, I am reminded of the Acts 1:8 biblical truth that I am powerful. And we brought these mugs out in celebration of the book. So I wanted to make sure you guys knew about that. But let's jump into our topic for this month, which, as you all know, is the breastplate of righteousness. And I want to share a little bit about this. And then, as always, I want to hear from you. I want to pray with you. I want us to pray for one another. I think this topic of righteousness or the breastplate of righteousness is so important right now because of all that's going on in the world. And you guys have heard me talk about this before. I think we're in one of the most epic and historic days of opportunity as Christian believers, probably since the first century church. I think it's more important than ever that we operate in the power and the presence of God, but also the personality of God. And righteousness is a lot about the personality of God. Righteousness is obviously being restored to right relationship with our Heavenly Father and all of His kingdom here on the earth through the gift and sacrifice of His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But when you look at what righteousness is, the Apostle Paul says, righteousness is, the kingdom of God is not meat and bread, or it's not religious duties that are performed, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God is being restored to relationship with the Heavenly Father, but we also receive that imputed righteousness that as we walk in right relationship with our God, we also walk as representatives and representers of Him. And that involves His presence, His power, but also His personality. And I think it's very important right now with all the Antichrist agenda that's so obvious throughout so many spheres of influence in the world, whether it's government or media or you name it. I think it's more important than ever that we stand for righteousness. that we contend for righteousness and we contend for what's right and stand for what's right, but we also do it in the character and nature of the righteous one. And I know we've talked about this before, so I'll be brief, but I think the book of Daniel, especially the first three chapters, are really key right now because we see Daniel, we see Shadrach, we see Meshach and Abednego standing up for what is right, what is biblically true. And as they do, though, I'm very impressed and also in a good way convicted of not only the stands they take for God and God's truth and God's heart and God's values and God's character, but they do it in God's character and nature. I notice how they speak to Nebuchadnezzar, and it's always with honor. It's always your majesty or sir. They're not maligning him, cursing him, tearing him down. I disagree with a lot of the policies of the current administration of the United States of America, but I am grieved by how I see many Christians on social media speaking about Mr. Biden and Mrs. Harris. I think it's important that we stand against a lot of these unbiblical antichrist agendas that they're putting forth. But I think it's really important that we remember that there's power in righteousness, in not only standing for righteousness, but standing for righteousness in the character and nature of the righteous one. That's why I think this topic of the breastplate of righteousness is so important for two reasons. One, I like that God in his wisdom, he says it's the breastplate of righteousness that covers our hearts, that protects our hearts. The safe, and that doesn't just mean we get protected from being wounded. It means it protects us. It not only protects our heart, but it protects us from our hearts. Because the Bible says the heart is wicked above all else. Now that's the old heart. That's the carnal heart. That's the old nature heart, not the heart of the Father, the new heart that we're given in our saving relationship through Jesus Christ. But I think it's important that we realize that the safe place for our heart is in righteousness. Because if we're in our old carnal nature, we can be standing for truth, but we're not going to be standing for it in the character and nature of him who is truth. And we're actually going to be releasing darkness through, because we can stand for truth with bitterness, with offense, with frustration, with anger, and stand for it that way, and rage and scream and flame on the internet and flame people on social media. And we have to remember God starts out the entire Bible with showing us how to deal with darkness and chaos and confusion. It's not by releasing more darkness, chaos, and confusion. We don't fight anger by releasing more anger. We don't fight darkness by releasing more darkness. We don't fight frustration by releasing more frustration. We release light. We release him who is light. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and we receive imputed righteousness, his imputed righteousness. And that not only protects our heart, protects us from our hearts, as it were, but also protects our hearts. But according to Romans 5, 15 through 19, it also gives us a global worldwide ministry. Now, I've got my old 96 New Living Translation here, and it's the one I spend the most time in. And I like that translation. Different translations say it many different ways and use different words, but I'm going to paraphrase so that when you dig into this, and if you do word studies in the original Greek, you'll see what's really being said here is it's a conversation or a revelation of what it is to be a son of God and the power we have to impact all creation as sons of God. And obviously, for all our anointed sisters that are on with us this morning, I hope you know by now that whenever it says son of God, you're included. There's no male or female in Christ Jesus. That son of God, that word huios, really translates to mature one. And that applies to you just as much as does to any man, just like when it says bride of Christ, I'm not left out. I don't look at bride of Christ and go, well, I wish they translated it the bride and groom of Christ so I could be included. No, there's something about bridal intimacy that as a man, it's important that I understand, just like there's something about representing the Father from the place of authority in culture, that the word son in context means that has very little to do with gender. I'm not saying there are no genders. There are two genders, male and female. God created us in his image and he created us male and female. So every single male and female believer is made in the image of God. And we have the opportunity in discipleship through the Holy Spirit to become a mature believer. What is a mature believer? According to Hebrews 5:14, A mature one is one who recognizes the difference between right and wrong and chooses to obey. We don't determine what's right and wrong. Righteousness doesn't give us the being restored to right relationship with our Father doesn't give us the privilege and the power to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to choose what's right and wrong. I'm going to choose what my truth is. We hear that a lot these days. That's my truth. Well, that may be your truth, but it's not my truth. That is a twisting and perversion of Satan. There's not my truth. There's not your truth. There's the truth. There's him who is the truth, and what he is taught is the truth. Now, there's my perspective. There's my history. There's my opinion. There's my viewpoint. And we should listen to each other on those because maybe we can either learn from one another or help one another. And if somebody's viewpoint and opinions and take on things has been twisted because of their history and because of their experience, we shouldn't beat them up with the truth. We should love them, have compassion for them, and meet them in the truth as an expression of the personality of our God as much as of the truth of our God, and draw them in, because once they truly know the truth will set them free. So according to Hebrews 5:14, the mature ones, the huios, male and female huios, or as it says in Greek, or is translated as the Greek, sons or mature sons, they are the ones who recognize the difference between right and wrong. They recognize what is God's truth and choose to obey, not out of religious obedience or legalistic performance, but out of relationship. God says, if you love me, you'll obey my word. And that's not a religious hoop we have to jump through to prove we love him, because that's all in the context of him declaring, you love me because I first loved you. We love him and choose to obey because we've experienced and know his love and know his goodness. I've been challenged on some things biblically by unbelievers in my family, and even, and they meant it as a compliment. I remember Christmas several years ago, some of Uri's cousins were visiting, and they're wonderful people with beautiful hearts and brilliant minds. My wife comes from a brilliant family, and she's a brilliant woman. And most of her cousins are brilliant, and they serve, or they work at universities and things like that. And they're so, so smart, and they're very intellectual, and I can relate. I might not have been as brilliant as they are, but I was an intellectual, and I know what it's like to be caught up in that. And especially when God has blessed us with a really good mind, and God has blessed them with brilliant minds. But they would say things to me like, you know, you're obviously a nice and intelligent man. You can't really believe in all this creation stuff, can you? And I'd say, well, tell me what you mean. And they'd say, well, you know, I mean, it's just so obvious, and it's evolution. And they walk me through all of Mendel and all of Darwin and all of it. And I'd say, hey, I totally get it. And I get that there's evidence to sort of support that. But I will tell you, I absolutely believe the creation story. I absolutely believe it. They said, can you prove it? I said, I don't know that I can, but I don't need to. And they said, what do you mean? I said, well, that's what faith is. And God has shown himself true and good in so many ways that are understandable to me, that I've experienced, that I've learned to trust and obey his word, even in the areas I may not fully understand. I'm not called to be an understander. I'm called to be a believer. And God has proven himself again and again and again that he's faithful and he's trustworthy. And I choose to believe his truth, and I choose to align with it, even if it's hard, even if at times I don't understand. And they said, I don't get it. And this is just an aside. And I said, well, actually, I think you do. And they said, what do you mean? I said, well, you have as much faith in what you believe in as I do in what I believe. And they said, no, I believe in science. It's fact. I said, well, correct me if I'm wrong, but the little bit I know about this, what I remember is that this entire theory of evolution hinges on something called the missing link, because we cannot show or prove where the supposed leap from monkey to man happened. So you've put faith in something unknown too. You have decided that even though we admit it cannot be explained, it cannot be pointed to, you've simply put your faith in a theory. It's called the theory of evolution. And they, of course, sorry, Siri thought I said Siri, not theory, and she wants to listen in. So right now I speak to Siri and all of the Apple Corporation and release a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ to you. Amen. And I said, I'm not trying to be argumentative. I'm trying to point out that you've actually been created with a measure of faith as well. You simply put your faith in this theory, and you're willing to say, I don't know what the missing link is, but I trust that there is one, and maybe one day we'll discover it. I said, the only difference is I've seen God proven true so many times that I am willing absolutely to believe his word, especially when it's challenging, especially when it's difficult, especially when it's convicting, because I've seen again and again and again, when I do that, down the road, I'm blessed. Down the road, things come into order. Down the road, light is brought into darkness. Confusion and chaos are brought in divine order. Challenges are brought into breakthrough and blessing. And they didn't get that. And it's okay that they didn't get that. But what I'm saying is a mature one doesn't always get it. A mature one, by the grace of God and the gift of the Holy Spirit, understands what is right and what is wrong and chooses out of love, chooses out of a revelation of the goodness of God, chooses to obey, not to get something we don't have, but to realize when I choose to obey, because I will obey his word if I love him, and I love him because his love is so real to me. Now I realize that I am going to see something come forth from this. That's what the mature ones are. So all of creation is groaning for the mature ones to be revealed. Why? Because of Romans 5, 15 through 19, that's talking about what it is to be a child of God and the global ministry that we're given. So let me circle back to that, wrap up, and then we'll hear from you all. Romans 5, 15 through 19, paraphrasing, says, because the first son, Adam, chose to disobey, unrighteousness entered the world. But because the second son, Christ Jesus, chose to obey, righteousness was made available to all. Now, as I say, I can see some of you, and I love this, looking at your Bibles or looking at your phone Bible apps. Your translation may be slightly different, but what it's getting at is it's saying Adam chose to disobey and unrighteousness came into the world because of it. It doesn't say only Adam was made unrighteous. He was, but it actually says unrighteousness came into the world, or unrighteousness was touched everyone, different or impacted creation. Different translations say it differently. And that's a pretty heavy thing to think about. When we choose to disobey, when we choose to not walk according to the will and ways of God, we need to understand that impacts not just our life, not just maybe our relationships, our spheres of influence, but it actually impacts all of creation. If I choose in traffic to get frustrated, I don't just have frustration in me. I'm not just giving place to that in me or in my vehicle or on the road. Frustration is released throughout all of creation. I've come into agreement with a spirit of frustration and empowering it. But here's the exciting thing, and it's the same with anger or lust or deceit or murmuring, complaining or offense, all of those things. It's the same. We're coming into agreement with those powers and principalities, empowering them and releasing that through all of creation. That's a heavy thing to think about. Two good things, though. The blood of Jesus Christ works. When we realize we do that, we can simply plead the blood of Jesus, repent, and cancel the impact of that bad choice, that sin. But the second part of Romans 5, 15 through 19 is what's so exciting. It says, because the second son, Christ Jesus, chose to obey, righteousness was made available to all, or righteousness went forth. There's, again, different translations. But why this is exciting is we're seeing that God is talking about the impact children of God, those who are in relationship with their heavenly Father, have throughout all creation. And while we obviously are not Messiah, because of Messiah, we have been made sons of God, children of God. And we have this power in righteousness to impact all creation. It does not say because Jesus chose to obey, he was made righteous. He was already righteous. It's saying when one who is in right relationship with their heavenly Father chooses to walk according to the will and ways of God, or for us, the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ that we receive through the finished work of the cross and his gift of salvation and the indwelling of his Holy Spirit. It's not just the Spirit of God, it's the Holy Spirit that empowers us to be heroes of holiness and radicals of righteousness. When we choose to walk in that, we actually are impacting all of creation. It ripples throughout all of creation. That's why righteousness is so important right now. Not out of religious legalism, Yes, it's absolutely living in God as our safe space, you know, as it were. But we need to understand it's not only so that we are in the safe space of his provision, of his protection, of his truth. But when we choose to walk in those things, it's released throughout. If we're having a challenge in a friendship or even a relationship like our marriage, and we choose to walk in righteousness, we choose to walk in patience, we choose to walk in mercy and forgiveness, we're not only going to impact ourselves, we're not only going to have more peace and see more breakthrough in ourselves, not only in our marriage or friendship or relationship, we're actually releasing those things out into all creation. If you're going through an extended challenge in your relationship or your marriage, and you're choosing to walk in righteousness, and you're choosing to walk in the character and nature of God, Him who is love, because part of righteousness is choosing love, you're going to see, according to 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7, the choices love makes, that love chooses to be patient, to be kind. Love does not keep a record of wrong. Love does not demand its own way. That doesn't mean you don't establish boundaries. That doesn't mean you don't share from your heart what your needs are. It means as you do that, you make these choices in the relationship, in God, and with the other. Now, you may see an immediate shift and breakthrough in your marriage, in your relationship. This will be a shocker. But Uri and I have had arguments in all our years of marriage. There's no such thing as a perfect marriage, but we know the perfect one is in our marriage with us. We know our marriage is a three-stranded cord. So there's been times we've had disagreements. We've even had a couple big arguments over the years. But you know what? We both always press into God. I always lean into the decrees God gave us to form our marriage. I repray those decrees. That has more to do with bringing my heart and my thoughts into alignment with the truth in Christ Jesus, into righteousness. And then I will go and I'll clean up my side of it. But when I choose to walk in that righteousness and watch over the choices I make, because I know the difference between right and wrong. And in that situation, making the choices of love is what's right. Making selfish, carnal, self-protective, defensive choices is wrong. When I make those choices, I have never not seen it impact the situation, whether it's immediately, whether it's within an hour, or whether it's within a day. Things not only improve, atmospheres shift, but we've learned to grow, we learn to trust one another more. We learn better how to process through things together, and we actually grow closer through all that. But here's the thing I want to say. Even if it took a week or a month or a year to get there, I'd continue by the grace of God to make those choices, because I would not only be expecting a breakthrough in my marriage, but I know I am releasing something out into the atmosphere that is probably bringing healing and the opportunity of healing in marriages and relationships for people that maybe aren't in a place where they're able to fight those battles in the spirit. So that's why righteousness is so important. We want to shift our nations right now. We want to shift the atmospheres of our nation, the tenor and tone of our nation, the values of our nations right now. One of the most important ways we do this is to make sure that we walk in righteousness, because when we choose to, that actually ripples throughout all creation. It doesn't mean we'll always immediately see the impact, but I am telling you, every time we make that choice, it has impact throughout all of creation. That's the power of righteousness. All right, my dear friends and ministry family, let's throw it open to all of you for feedback, questions, prayer requests, revelation. Yes, Eddie, let's go right to you.
Well, it's a bit like what you're saying. I live in England, and I live in Birmingham, centre of, and I came to Birmingham when I was 13, having lived by the sea. And I've had a dream of always going back to live by the sea. And earlier this year, well, a few months ago, everything seemed to be coming to a halt. So we did wonder if God was moving us finally down to the sea, to be near Clare, actually. And,
oh, good.
Yeah, no, not good. Not good.
Well, she could use all the love and support she can get right now, so.
I'm sure. So I asked one of the ministers in our church, and I said, look, we're going to go down there, and we really need God's wisdom if it's right to go down there. So he prayed a very specific prayer that when we went down to have a look at the area, if it was right, people would come up to us without any knowledge whatsoever, of what we're planning to do. Well, we went down to the area, loved it, but unfortunately, nobody, there has not been a single person who has come up to us and said, this is it.
Wow.
So I had to really come to terms and really lay it down before the Lord and say, Lord, I choose to live in Birmingham. And I don't want to be thinking anymore that perhaps next year we will move. Mm. And I trust you, Lord, to do the right thing. And I, in my head, I am completely there. I know the Lord wants the best thing and I want to do it. But my heart is grieving. My body is grieving. Mm. And I guess we're in that bit now where we don't know what we're doing. We've got a lovely house and I'm sure we're meant to be here. But my heart is sad. And I had a dream where I was crying in my dream and I woke up with pain in my heart. So, I trust the Lord, Robert. And but yes, I could do with some prayer just for this time to strengthen, you know.
I hear you. And absolutely. And I want to encourage you. I can relate, actually. You may already know this story, but I'll tell it for everybody else before I pray for you. I'm in the Phoenix Valley when I think most of you know, I was living up in the woods of Montana. I had been a city boy before that, but I had semi-retired up into the woods of Montana. It's a long story. I won't bore you with the details, where after 5 years of living a cabin in the woods, the Lord manifested his presence and brought me into a saving knowledge of the God I'd mocked and made fun of for almost 40 years. Within about a year, he called me into full-time ministry. Within that year, he had connected me with Patricia and Ron, and I had traveled with them some and gotten to know them some. And very long story made short, when Patricia decided to come down to the U.S. to start the U.S. ministry, she invited me to come with her and Ron and help establish it. And someone named Shirley Seeger at the time, who was birthing our media ministry. So the four of us, Ron and Patricia, out of a trailer park in Mesa, Arizona, Ron and Patricia in one trailer, Shirley in another trailer, and me in another trailer, we birthed the U.S. ministry. The reason I bring this up is I loved the mountains of Montana. I'd been a suburban kid and a city boy my whole life. I'd actually moved from Chicago and working downtown in the Wrigley building to the mountains of Montana. And after about a year of adjustment, I loved the mountains. I loved small town life. I loved the green. I loved the blue. Before I was a Christian and didn't even know what I was saying, I would say, God willing, I'll spend the rest of my life in Big Fork, Montana. And I even knew the plot that one day the Swan River Cemetery I wanted to be buried in. But I'd always say it, which is weird because I wasn't a believer. God willing, God willing, God willing. And God was willing, but he was willing me to something else. So he invited me to, when Patricia asked me to come and start the ministry, I couldn't get my head around not living in Montana for the rest of my life. So God, in his wisdom, spoke to me and said, will you go for 6 months? And I thought, yeah, I'll go down there for 6 months. That's fine. I actually liked the winters in Montana because I loved cross-country skiing and some other things, but I thought I can spend a winter down there. That's fine. And then God led me one step at a time. 4 months into that 6 months, he asked, will you stay throughout the year? And I waited up with the woman that I was engaged to at the time. And we decided, yeah, I was learning a lot and I wasn't sure what the future held in Montana, but I knew I was going back there. So 10 months into that year, God spoke to me and said, will you stay another year? And I thought, whoa, this is getting a little out of control, Lord. And I asked God a question. I said, hey, why didn't you tell me it was going to be 2 years? And he said, first of all, because you wouldn't have come. And that's true. I told that story once and at a conference, and somebody came up to me afterwards and said, I don't believe you. God would never lie. And I said, tell me where God lied. And he said, well, he said you were going for 6 months. I said, no, he didn't say I was going for 6 months. He asked if I would go for 6 months. And I said, yes. I said, he didn't lie to me. He would never lie to me. He's not a man. He cannot lie. He led me. It was like an Abram journey. It was one step at a time. But instead of geographic steps, he gave me time steps, month steps, because he knew where he was trying to lead me and he knew how to lead me. So he said, I never said it was only to, and the other thing he said is it's not only going to be 2 years. So he said, I didn't tell you because you wouldn't have come. And I'm not saying it's only 2 years. And that's when I realized I'm here for the rest of my life. Or I'm here for the foreseeable future, because he wasn't giving me a timeline. So the reason I share that is because I understand the grief. I drove on an expired, I don't know what you call it in England, but here it's a license plate, the actual thing and registration, and on an expired driver's license, which is the thing you carry in your wallet that says you're legally, for 2 years, because I could not get it in my head that I lived in the valley, the Phoenix Valley, because I am not a desert guy. I was not a desert guy. I remember one day, Patricia, looking at me. We were driving down to Tucson to do a prophetic conference, and she was looking out the window. Then she looked at me looking out the window, and she said, "You hate it here, don't you?" And I said, "Well, I love what we're doing, and I love God, but yeah, I really don't like the desert." But here's what shifted for me, and you're already there, and I want to honor you. I really want you to know I understand the process you're going through. I remember standing in line at the Department of Motor Vehicles when I finally decided I'm going to get my license renewed, and I'm going to have an Arizona driver's license, and I'll have Arizona driver plates. It was a take up your cross moment. It was a death to self moment. And in that moment, something hit me, and I thought, wait a minute. Living here, going through this, it's my way of saying, I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. If you would ask me even then, will you spend the next now 18 years of your life in the Phoenix Valley? I have now lived here longer than I have lived anywhere in my entire life. And I may be here for the rest of my life. My wife loves the desert. Our ministry is in the desert. I love my wife. I love my family. I love our ministry. I love what we do. And I had a breakthrough moment where I will still look at the geography and say, sometimes I kind of miss Montana, but God's been so good to me, and he's going to be good to you. He's let me go all over the world. I've been to 39 countries this January, God willing, the trip that's planned, like the 40th country that I go to. I have seen some of the most beautiful mountains in the world. Not only the Rocky Mountain range that I lived in. And every time I'm in one of those places, I've been to places I never dreamed of getting to go, like Iceland. And I loved it. And I would stand watching the lights in the sky and the beauty of the very unique surroundings. I stood in front of Mount Cook in the South Island of New Zealand, and I would stand and think, God, thank you. This is your gift to me. Thank you so much. If I'd been in Montana for the rest of my life, I would have seen that valley and those mountains and those fly fishing rivers and those lakes to see kayak on, and I would have loved it, but I wouldn't have seen any of this. Thank you, God. And I believe, and what I'm praying is he's going to do the same for you. And whether that's the next 18 years or whatever it is there, or if it's Isaac and for 6 months you're there, and then all of a sudden, because you truly obeyed, you're brought to Torquay into the sea, whatever it is, I know. And Lord, I declare you were the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're the same for me as you are for Eddie. And I thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, that you give her grace and you give her peace and you give the family grace and peace. And as they lean into you and they trust you and you take them through this process of even the grief that's involved in it, you lead them through this and it all gets turned to the good. Anything the enemy meant for harm in this, this is not hope deferred that makes the heart grow sick. I break that lie right now in Jesus's name. This is a heart fulfilled in you, in leaning into you, in trusting you, in following you. This is a heart on the Abram journey to Abraham. And I declare they will only be multiplied and increased by choosing in faith to follow you. And if all of a sudden things shift and you lead or they get that confirmation, then they'll joyfully follow you. But Lord, I honor them for honoring you. And I declare that it's impossible that they are not blessed with a deeper revelation of your goodness and love and trustworthiness. And I declare that they will know the blessings from this choice. And they will know the increase that Abram knew when he went from being exalted father to father of nations. And I call forth that increase through their faithfulness, through their obedience. In Jesus' name, I ask for an impact in the community that you've called them to for now, however long now is. And I ask that they would see all of a sudden new doors of opportunity in the spirit and in the natural open up as they say, well, God's obviously called us here. God obviously wants us here. So God, we know you will empower them to have kingdom impact there like they've never seen before, whether it's in new realms of influence, whether it's out at the shops, whether it's in the prayer closet, whether it's through prayers and decrees, whatever it is, God, we know that you bring increase when we follow you in faithfulness, and we bless them with peace. We bless them with grace. We bless them with the manifest increase of intimacy and relationship and friendship and fellowship with you, and through that greater impact throughout the region you've called them to and the whole wide world. In Jesus's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Bless you. Thank you so much.
God bless you. Your faithfulness is amazing.
Thank you. Thank you.
Anyone else want to share questions, feedback?
Thank you, Robert, for the teaching.
Good to see you again.
Yeah, I have got your book.
Good. Please let me know. Please send feedback. Let us know which realms of power you're starting to move in. Share your testimonies from it. We can't wait to hear.
Okay, sure. Then in the past days, like I very often saw 44 number very often. So I keep asking the Lord, for guidance. Then Philippians 4:4, be joyful in the Lord. That's the one I got. Then Isaiah 44, the verse, O Israel, I will not forget you. So currently my health, so we identify the issue. Thank you for praying for me. Mm-hmm. My sitting is limited sitting. So 15 minutes, otherwise I'm standing or lying down straight. Mm-hmm. Then also this one, I got a trainer online, but I was not sure. But a couple of times I saw 844 in the microwave or in the clock a couple of times 2 days ago. Third time I saw, and that person number starts with 848. So
interesting.
I don't know whether I literally take it. Anyway, I enroll the program for do some exercise to get rid of the pain.
What is the issue that they've identified?
The doctor said it's a sciatica nerve initial stage. Okay. That is one, but I had muscle pain.
Okay.
Okay. Muscle pain in the sitting place.
Well, everybody, let's pray for Nitty right now, and extend your hands, extend your faith. Go ahead and pray along with me. Father God, we lift your precious daughter up to you right now, and we thank you, Lord, that even with the issue, the woman who had the issue of blood for 16 years, when she grabbed hold of the hem of your garment, it was immediately resolved. So, Father, right now, on behalf of our sister, we grab hold of the hem of your garment. We grab hold of you. We grab hold of heaven. We grab hold of the finished work of the cross. We grab hold of your stripes that brings healing. And we grab hold of that. We add our faith to our sister's faith. And right now, we release that healing virtue, the fullness of your goodness into her sciatic nerve. We release it into her spine. We release it into her discs. We release it into her vertebrae. And wherever there's pinching, wherever there's inflammation, wherever there's misalignment, wherever there's anything causing pain, we say, be thou removed right now in Jesus's name. We release your virtue. We release the fullness of your goodness into Needy's back right now. And we say, be healed right now. Sciatica, go now in Jesus's name. Pain, go now in Jesus' name. Inflammation, go now in Jesus' mighty name. Alignment, come. Freedom, come. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would right now, like Holy Spirit traction, relieve any pressure in the spine, any pinching in the spine. In Jesus' mighty name, we command the spine to be healed, the spine to align, vertebrae, discs right now be healed. Any bulging discs, we command that inflammation to go, that bulging to go. In Jesus's name, we come into agreement with the oil of the Holy Spirit moving from the tip of Needy's head down through the brainstem, down through the spinal cord, touching every single vertebrae, every single disc, every single nerve, even that sciatic nerve. And we command pressure to be lifted off and pain to go. We speak forth creative miracles where something needs to physically change. We speak forth the fire of God's love for his daughter right now to bring warmth and heating and remove all inflammation. And we command all pain to go in Jesus's name. Amen. Now do us a favor. And if you're able, get up, be gentle with yourself, but get up and move around and see if there's any change.
Yeah.
Because we're believing for, we know the breakthrough happened at the cross. We're believing for the full manifestation of it right now. And maybe gently try to do something you couldn't do, like bend over. And I don't know what it was, but where there'd been limitations, see if there's been a change, because we're believing for the breakthrough right now in Jesus's name. All pain go right now in Jesus's name. Sciatic nerve, where you're inflamed, we command that inflammation to go. Where you're sending out signals of pain, we command those signals to be interrupted and that pain to be sent to the cross. And whatever the physical issue is, we declare that the supernatural power of God is above and beyond those physical issues, and we command them to be healed. We speak revival and reformation into Needy's spine, into her spinal cord, into the nerves right now, into the discs right now, into the vertebrae right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
We command every curse, every hex, every jinx, every spell, every incantation that has come against her. We break those things off right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that the blood of Jesus is more than enough. Thank you that any bloodline curses that are trying to manifest through this thing, they're broken, broken, broken. And we call her and her generations blessed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Every curse, every hex, every jinx, every spell, everything done with words, written and spoken, everything done with photos, potions, and objects, we break that off right now. Rituals be broken in Jesus' name, and the truth of Jesus Christ be established from head to toe throughout your body, and all pain go. Every dagger, every talon, every hook of the enemy be removed now in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the fullness of your goodness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your strength and your breakthrough. Thank you, Jesus. Let there be light. Let there be light. Let there be light. We speak to the darkness of that pain, that discomfort, and any darkness that is causing it. And we say, light be, light be, light be. Darkness be shattered in the natural. Darkness be shattered in the spirit right now, right now, right now, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Robert. Thank you.
Of course. Yeah. Now, do you notice any difference in ease of motion or, and no need to exaggerate God's, we know God's working. We can see he's working, but we're also looking for the good report. Do you notice any change?
Well, I'm strengthened in my heart. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
I will let you know. Because the pain comes in the morning.
I see.
So then I move like today. So if that pains go in the morning, and then I am healed.
Okay.
Completely.
Praise God.
I'm better than last month.
Good. Good, good.
So.
Anybody else sensing anything or getting anything? Yeah, come on, Joelle, share. Unmute yourself and share.
Robert, thank you again. As usual, it was very encouraging. And I have been going through a lot of challenges. And when I asked the Lord why I was facing this much resistance, because preparing the lesson, the delivering of it, I don't know. It goes beyond what words can explain, Robert. And I was awakened recently hearing the Lord saying, you are fighting against principalities and powers. And I'm at a stage where I'm asking, how do I fight that? Mm-hmm. Because teaching is so demanding. The workload is huge. And this is taking, this is a kind of influencing the time, the amount of time I dedicate to the Lord. But at the same time, I'm not performing at the level. I do believe that I'm not performing at the level God has called me to perform at. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I feel like there is a circle around my, yeah. my head. Yeah. And it's like, sometimes I feel like losing my mind. It's incredible. I laugh at it because I've never experienced so things like this.
Yeah.
And I remember your teaching on how to pray through God's promises for our lives. I picked that back up. I went through it, but I'm looking for a strategy. How do I know principalities and power are mentioned in Ephesians 6? How do I go against, because it's so violent.
Intense, yeah. Yeah, I'm still learning myself, Joelle, so this is great. We're going to learn together. Go ahead, sorry.
I do believe that obviously it has to do with what God wants me to do.
Absolutely.
I just know that you can't take this away from me. And I came across, as I was searching for solutions, I came across Rick Renner teaching on powers and principalities, but precisely because just a few days later, the Lord woke me up again and said, hang in there, Joel. Clearly, the Lord said, hang in there. And I say, Lord, give me grace to do so. Because sometimes there is a blanket coming over me and causing me to throw the towel. Throw in the towel. But by nature and personality, I don't give up easily because I know this has to do with my destiny. Okay, so I came across this teaching by Rick Renner, and he was sharing at the same time his testimony. And he says, that was very, very encouraging. Honestly, I was very close to give up, to be honest with you. Mm. It was tough. I've never experienced this. But he said, very good teaching from the book of James. And he said, and the title was Hanging Their Power. And surprisingly, that's exactly what the Lord has spoken to me.
Right on.
And that helped me to understand what God meant by hanging there. Okay. And he preached he taught from James, from the book of James. And it was very, very insightful, encouraging. And it helped me to position myself. So tonight, I just want you to join me in hanging there.
Yes.
In hanging there. And this is where I am at the moment. And I'm in my probation year. And it's very, very intense. It's very, very intense. And on top of all that spiritual resistance, at times, I have to say, following God's leading is not easy.
Right.
But I need to know how to hang in there, to keep hanging there.
Well, I first of all, I know I say this every time we talk, but you are a champion. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. That's not empty words. You have been called to something, especially in that sphere of education. And it's a big deal. And you are dealing with powers and principalities in one of the most important spheres of influence right now, where the enemy has advanced an antichrist agenda, even amongst our young people. So they think perverse things are normal. So you are in one of the most important spheres of influence. You are a champion. God is using you and will continue to use you. I do understand the intensity of warfare against powers and principalities to some degree. And I'll tell you, I think I alluded to this in one of our previous Zooms, that for me, the first 6 to 7 months of this year were incredibly intense and oddly, incredibly discouraging. Like there was, Uri could tell you, there were times I'd be thinking, 18 years in full-time ministry, 19 years in ministry, coming up on 20 years as a Christian, have I accomplished anything of value? I would have these thoughts and I would have to get intentional and sit down and reflect on things I'd seen God do and give him praise. So there's a couple keys I want to give you that I've learned. Number one, praise, because it's very clear. We can, and I'm not saying you're wrong, but we can say powers and principalities. We can say the warfare. We can say the all of it. But what it really boils down to is what the powers and principalities are doing in all that resistance we're feeling is making things feel heavy and oppressed. And I believe in the simple gospel, and God helps things be simple for me because I need them to be simple when they get that intense. And I'm getting discouraged, even though there's no reason to be discouraged. God wants to encourage, not the enemy wants to discourage. And so for me, God makes it simple. And there's two things I've seen work for me over and over and over again. The first is very simple. And you've heard me share it many times, Joel, but the scripture says to put on the garment of praise, to lift off the spirit of heaviness. So I do this thing where I learned it from Patricia years ago, and it works for me every time, where when I'm all of a sudden, I realize I'm feeling that heaviness, I'm feeling that oppression, where on days it felt like it was an effort to stand up, not because of physical weakness, but because of the physical resistance in the spirit that often felt like not just heavy discouragement and oppression of the soul, but almost resistance to the body. And I would do this. I do this thing where I simply say, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, one. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, two." And I won't go through the whole thing, but I do that and count it off 10 times. And I allow additional praises to come up. Like when I was so sick, all of a sudden I realized, oh yeah, yeah. Like right now I'm overcoming some challenges with my liver. And so when I do that, then I'll say, wait, all that is within me, praise the Lord, my liver, praise the Lord, my liver enzymes, praise the Lord, my liver tissue, praise the Lord, my liver. So I will name things that are feeling the heaviness or experiencing the resistance. And as I do, I'll continue to praise, continue to praise, continue to praise. I have never not had it break the heaviness when I've done this. Now here's the truth. There have been times when warfare is really intense, 10 or 15 minutes later, I had to do it again because the heaviness came back. But the more, I almost see it like a shark in the water. And, you know, supposedly, thank God I've never had to do this. I've been scuba diving where sharks were, but thankfully they never came near me. But I've been told if you can, punch the shark in the nose because it's a sensitive area for the shark. And if you do that often enough, it'll go away. No idea if it's true. Hope I never have to find out. But I see that comes to mind with this oppression. I think I just got to keep punching that thing in the nose with that praise. And if I got to do it every 10 minutes, if I got to do it every half hour, if I've got to set a timer on my phone to do it every hour, I'm going to, and it'll break. The other thing, again, simple but powerful, is in faith taking communion. And I will be honest, when I take communion, I don't always feel it break in the moment, but it never fails that if I take communion every day, I get really intentional about it. Or when things got intense, like I remember when Uri was first diagnosed with cancer and we saw the picture of the tumor and we were really wrestling with some heavy things, fear, doubt, all that stuff. I was taking communion sometimes every hour. And it was more just to come into union with God's perspective, God. And the difference between the praise and the communion, the reason for me they work so well together, the praising 10 times, I always feel a bit of a breakthrough or a shift, even if I have to do it again 15 minutes later. With communion, I didn't always feel it, but if I didn't feel it, I'd make a note to take communion an hour later, a couple hours later. And it seemed to have this cumulative effect where all of a sudden I'd look back and go, oh, so I feel like this is a really bad analogy, but it's coming to mind, so I'm going to lean into it. I feel like the praise is like the aspirin that gives you some immediate relief from the headache. And then the communion is like, say, the surgery that realigns the place in your neck that's causing the pain. Bad analogy because it's physical, but it's like the one seems to give immediate effect and the other seems to give long-term dealing with the root issue. So I suggest those two things to you because they've worked for me. But right now, everybody, let's extend our hands to Joelle. I know we're almost out of time, but I don't want to not pray for her. And Lord, we lift Joelle up to you and we honor her as our sister. We honor her as your daughter. We honor her as your bride. We honor her as your champion and your warrior and your hero. And we honor the call upon her life. And we declare she's necessary and she's needed. And we bless her for the key role she has to play for your kingdom here in the earth, especially in this sphere and the other spheres that you've called her to. So in Jesus's mighty name, right now, we come against the plans and purposes of the enemy. We declare our weapons and her weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty in you, God, for the pulling down of strongholds. We declare that we war not against flesh and blood, but we war against the powers and principalities working through flesh and blood. Oh, I can feel it. And in Jesus's name right now, we break every single assignment of hell against Joel, especially the assignment of discouragement. We break off discouragement now in Jesus's name. And we say to her, and we agree that you are saying to her, just as you said to Joshua, to another one who had not gone this way before, we say, be encouraged, be brave, be bold, be encouraged. And that's not a request you're making that she has to live up to. But in those words, we know there is actually a release of your heavenly power of courage, of boldness. So we say, be bold, be courageous, Joel, be bold, be courageous. You are not discouraged. You are encouraged by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we command every discouraging thought, every discouraging spirit, every discouraging hex and jinx and spell, every discouraging assignment, we break them now in Jesus's name. And we declare what the enemy is meant for harm will be turned to the good. And Lord, I even declare, and what I see in the spirit right now, Joel, is, and I know this is easy to say, but I want to encourage you, because you have stood even when it was most difficult, or you've gotten back up when you've been knocked down. This is God training your hands to war. This is what it feels like to be trained to bend the bow of bronze. I remember my first trip by myself to lead in Thailand. And I was in Bangkok praying into the meetings I was going to do and the outreaches we were going to do into the brothels of Pattaya. And it felt like every power in hell in Thailand was coming against me. And I sent Patricia this long email saying all the challenges. And she sent back a little short email simply saying, I'm so proud of you. Keep going. This is what it is to be seasoned. You're walking in your calling. And Joel, I declare over you, I am so proud of you. Keep going. You're being seasoned. You're being strengthened. You are learning to shift entire spheres of influence and bring the influence of heaven into those spheres. And we declare that you are encouraged, you are bold, you are strengthened in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Now, I know that we're after 10 o'clock and we need to wrap up and I actually need to get going, but I want to take just a little bit of time. Are any of you also getting anything for Joel? I want to give you a chance to share. Sang, I saw the Spirit of the Lord moving on you just a few minutes ago. I didn't know if you were getting something for her, if it was personal, but I want to make sure that any of you who might have a word of encouragement or strategy has a chance to speak into Joel, if you got anything. And if so, just wave your hand.
While you're praying for Joel, I felt something coming into my heart. For Joel, feeling for her burden.
Do you want to pray for her, saying, oh, so often when God does that, it's because there's something he wants to release as well. And it can be simple, but I want to honor what the Lord's doing in you and is about to do through you.
Father God, thank you so much for all this precious time and learning time during this go-team spaces. Safe space that we could be vulnerable and bring our problems up to you. At this time, I lift up Joel to you and your precious daughter, your beloved daughter, that you know what's going on with her and you know what's coming against her. In the name of Jesus, I command all the dark spirits, principality, power of principality and afflicting spirits, be gone. And I plead blood of Jesus from her top of her head to the bottom of her feet to cover the hedge of protection.
Thank you, Lord.
And I trust that you will watch her over without ceasing, without sleeping. And you will keep her in your fortress. Yes. You will keep her in your arm and you will give her the protection of a garment so that no darkness come near her and come against her. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Sang, thank you so much for doing that. And thank all of you for joining. Hey, Lexi, so glad you were able to get on near the end. Great to see your face as always. Thank you all so much for being partners in the ministry, part of the ministry family and team. Thank you for taking time to join in on these each month. I love these times together. And I know we say it all the time, but we always mean it when we say it. As we go, know this, God loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really does. God bless you guys. Amen. Thanks
thank
so
you.
Much. We love
thank
you.
Thank you, Robert.
See you next month.
Bye, Robert.
Bye-bye.
Bye.